You would turn with me to the 56th Psalm. Psalm 56. There was a time in my life a few years ago that I went through a very, very dark period. It was a period that lasted several months. It was a time in which I began to question the love of God towards me. I began to question my call to the ministry. I began to question my role as a pastor, and I came very, very close with just a hand's breadth of throwing it all away. During the darkest time, when it seemed I could gain no hope whatsoever, I would cry out to the Lord, and it seemed like there would be no answer. I would listen to sermons, trying to find some comfort, and there was none. I would pray, I would try to sing songs, try to do everything that I could to try to come out of the darkness. But it just persisted on and on. I was at an annual meeting, and I was very close. In fact, it was kind of, Lord, this is the last effort. If something doesn't change, I can't go on anymore. And Elder Kenneth Brantley from Georgia got up and quoted a verse from this psalm, and instantly the darkness was gone. My hope was restored, and I was ready to press on. This psalm begins, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." And this was the verse. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. The psalm goes forward, and verse 3 is not really what I want to address, but I just wanted to relate that experience because it does touch in with what goes forward. He says, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is sure, and God is for me." He says, "In God will I praise His word, and the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Verse 13 is the verse I want to focus on this afternoon. Obviously, David has gone through a horrible, horrible experience. We could go into the history of the psalm while it's written, but I won't. We'll just know that David was pursued and it was constant. And these were not people who were just kind of giving a little bit of a hard time. They weren't just mocking him or saying bad things behind his back. These were people seeking his life, seeking to destroy his integrity, calling everything about him in question. And so David would say, "What time I'm afraid," which he had real fear, he says, "I will trust in Thee." But he says, "For Thou hast delivered my soul from death." This is a truth. This was something that David declared is something that had already occurred in his life, something that had already transformed his life completely. He says, "You have delivered my soul from death," and certainly the Lord has done that for us. It is no doubt when the Lord Jesus Christ came forth from heaven descended to this world, condescended to men of low estate, went to the lowest parts of the earth in his mother's womb, and then was brought forth, lived a perfect life, and then, of course, suffered and died at Calvary, rose again the third day. We can trust and know that when the Lord did that, he did so to deliver our soul from death. There is no fear of death before the people of God, because we know when we depart this life, we certainly go on to the world to come. Every time I get on an airplane, I go to the airport and I look for departure, because I'm about to leave somewhere. But I also know on the other side there's a sign that says arrival, and that's where I'm headed to. That's what it is for the child of God. This is just a departure when we leave this world, but there's an arrival somewhere else. And I'm thankful that sign's in heaven, and when we arrive there, we'll never depart again. So there's no fear of death for the child of God, or at least there should not be. I realize I'm kind of fearful of dying. I don't know exactly what that will be like, but I'm not afraid of death itself, because I know from the scriptures it's certain that when we die, it's gain. We're with the Lord. We may be absent from the body, but that's okay, because we're present before the face of the Almighty. David says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." This is something that's certain, it's steadfast. I remember the Apostle Paul's experience in the city, I believe it was Ephesus, and he records this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he begins to express to the Corinthians how that God, in the midst of a very hard trial, when he said we had given up and we were even despairing of life, he said we had the sentence of death in ourselves so that we should not trust ourselves, but in God that raised the dead. And he said, God did deliver and doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. We can trust that we have been delivered. God is currently delivering his people, and he shall deliver us at the last hour of our life. And there's no fear whatsoever of what shall occur. We know, the Bible is clear, that when the child of God departs here, his spirit immediately goes back to God that gave it. David wasn't fearing death itself. He wasn't fearing what it would be like after that. He says, "Thou hast done this, Lord. I know this." I thank God for the doctrine of eternal security. I praise God. I'm thankful for the fact that the Lord Jesus died for our sins. That's great news. There would be no eternal security without redemption that came at Calvary. But I'm also thankful that that which the Lord accomplished at Calvary shall remain. It shall stand fast. What the Lord has done, it shall remain forever and ever. There's none that can come against the Lord and against the Lord's people and overturn that which the Lord Jesus accomplished at Calvary. When the Lord Jesus cried aloud there in his dying breath, "It is finished," we can rest assured that everything that pertained to our salvation in that moment was secure forever. And even the devil himself is not able to come against the people of God. The Bible tells us in Revelation that the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. I love that. It's true that the devil daily and nightly accuses us before God, but the Lord Jesus Christ has cast him down. The Lord Jesus has the victory. John put it this way: "He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world." He has more power. He's triumphant. I know the devil says in Isaiah 14, "I'll be like the Most High," and he would love to be, but he's never attained to that place where God sits upon his throne. No matter what Satan might do, he's still a created being. And since he's created by God, for whatever reason, he's under the control of God. Thanks be to God that even Satan himself will be brought under God's control, and God shall have the victory. And that will be one more enemy destroyed at the last day. It says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." The people of God can rest assured that the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus will never, ever pass away. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. He says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly," and that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning completely. "And the very God of peace sanctify you completely," or wholly, "and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now when the Apostle Paul prays that prayer, it's not because Paul's questioning whether or not it's going to come to pass. God, the Apostle Paul is simply praying a truth that is the reality of God's word. Paul's not saying, I have to pray this every day just so I can keep it before God's mind so that he makes sure to deliver us at the last day. Paul says, I'm just praying the truth. And I'm praying that God will preserve body, soul, and spirit. Preserve us blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He says, I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When Paul puts that amen, that's saying, period. There's nothing more to be added. He says, God has delivered me from every evil work. Everything that I've experienced, everything that I've gone through, all the troubles that I've seen, all the afflictions that came to me for preaching the gospel, everything that came against me because I forsook the way of the Father, so they said. I have preached Jesus, and for doing that, I've encountered all kinds of troubles. You can go to the books of Corinthians and see recorded some of the very things that Paul endured for the elect's sake. You know, some of the things that Satan hurled his way. He says, in all of that, the Lord delivered me, and he shall deliver me from every evil work. I have no reason to fear, to be concerned, because I know God is ultimately in control, and God is over all this that's occurring, and he loves me, and he's for me, and he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. So Paul's attitude was, whatever comes my way, that's all right. Because I know that God shall have the victory. And even though I might have troubles, and I might fall, and I might slip, and I might not reach my goal, the Lord shall not fail. And he is keeping me to his everlasting kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Like how Paul says it in Romans chapter 8, when he says, I am persuaded. That doesn't mean I kind of think this might be the way it is. Well, this is my opinion about it. I've kind of put a little consideration to it, and I think maybe that the Lord's going to overcome. That's not what he means there. He says, I am persuaded. That means this is something that I'm banking upon. I'm putting my whole trust in. I have been convinced that this is the truth. I remember in Acts chapter 28 when the Apostle Paul came before Agrippa and he talked to him. It's Acts 27. He tells him all the things that God had done throughout his ministry. How he had taken Saul of Tarsus, who had slaughtered the people of God, and changed him to Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles. And how he had gone through all these troubles preaching the gospel. And at the end of that, Agrippa says, almost persuadest me. Or thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Paul's not almost persuaded in Romans chapter 8. Paul is totally convinced that this is true. I like what Paul said to Agrippa. He said, I would to God that you were almost and altogether as I am, except these bonds. He says, Agrippa, I wish you could just be convinced that this is the truth. Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know why it's secure? Because it's in Christ. If it was in me, it wouldn't be so secure. If my eternal security depended upon my ability to reach the goal, there's great fear that I wouldn't reach it. I know Paul said that he had finished his course. He had kept the faith. He was ready to be offered. The time of his departure was at hand. And he felt that he had done his very best. But yet I also find where the Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And so while he had done the very best he could in his life, he still was the chief of sinners in his mind. I'm thankful to know that I do not have to rest upon my own labors and my own ability to continue on faithful until the end to ensure that I see the Lord at the last day. Because I already related to you an experience where I almost gave up. I was just at the point, I'm reminded of Psalm 73 when Asa said, when he looked at the prosperity of the wicked and he saw the foolish, that his feet well nigh slipped. He almost gave up because he saw how easy the wicked seemed to have it. And he was ready to throw it all away until I went to the sanctuary of God, he said, and then I understood their end. But he was close. I've been close. We look at the Bible and we see many of God's people who were close and went over the mark. I find in the life of David, when he looked out upon his from his patio and he saw a woman that he wanted, even though God had given everything that he'd ever asked for, and he said, and if you'd asked for such and such thing, I would have gave it to you. But instead, he wanted another man's wife. And so he sent, and Bathsheba came. And he became the father of a child that he shouldn't have fathered, because he's had an experience with a woman he shouldn't have had. I love what David later said, though I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. He learned the lesson, but David fell in that experience. Thanks be to God, David's salvation was not dependent on him being able to withstand the temptation there that day. Think about his son Solomon. Solomon was a great man at his beginning. He was a man that when he ascended the throne, he didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for riches. He asked God for wisdom so that he could know how to judge so great a people. He understood that he was the leader of the Lord's people, and he knew that he was not able, outside of God's wisdom, to rightly determine how to lead that nation. And so he begged God at the outset of his reign to bless me with wisdom. And so God gave him wisdom and power and riches and fame. What was it when the queen of the south came? She said, "The half was not told me," when she saw all that God had blessed Solomon with. But what happened? Solomon did not listen to his own counsel that he wrote in Proverbs. He gave many good counsel to young men of what to avoid and what to do. And he did some of the very things that he commanded his son not to do. He had many strange wives. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Can you imagine that? We think that Solomon is the wisest man in the world, but yet he had 1,000 women. That doesn't sound like wisdom to me, because something happened in his life. All of a sudden his focus turned. And that man in his last end allowed those women to build altars and groves in the Lord's kingdom. And he worshiped at those altars and those groves. He fell. But yet, the Lord loved him. And I'm convinced that when I get to glory, I'll see Solomon. No doubt. Not because Solomon could hold it in the road to the end, because he didn't, but because the Lord held him in the road to the end and beyond it. So again, David says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." But then he goes on to say, "Wilt not thou keep my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" I believe, as Paul did, I'm firmly convinced, I'm fully persuaded that there is nothing that shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not for a moment do I doubt that truth. I am convinced in heart and mind that we shall see the Lord at the last day without fail, because of the things which he has done and he continues to do. We find Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says that he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And since it's God who started the work, and God who's continuing the work, and God who shall end the work, we can rest assured we'll see him at the day of Jesus Christ. So David is not questioning whether or not the Lord is going to take him to heaven. But he does ask a question. "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" You know what David's saying? "Lord, I want to live right. I want to live in accordance to thy way. I want to stand and see and ask about the old paths and walk therein and find the peace that's contained in that way." David's saying, "I want to come to the straight and narrow gate, and I want to enter in that way because there's peace and there's joy and there's righteousness in that course. David is saying here, Lord, I need help because I want to live a godly and righteous life, but I recognize that even in that, I'm a failure. That apart from the grace of God, I can't even walk daily in a way that would please the Lord. Now, I certainly believe that we are to participate in our daily salvation. I know that our eternal salvation is totally secured by God alone without any help or aid from us. But I also believe that we are to obey the commands of God in this life, and we're supposed to walk in a godly way, and we're to be active in that. But I still know I need grace for that too. I don't need just grace for salvation. I need grace daily. The Bible says we need grace to worship, grace to serve, grace to live, and grace to die. I need grace to worship, grace to pray. I need grace to be a faithful husband. I need grace to be a good pastor. I need grace to simply be a faithful child of God. I can't do it alone. Look at the men of the Bible who tried it alone. Look at people in your own history that you know who tried to go it alone. And how quickly they veered off the path. And they wrecked. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? I've already told you about Asaph in Psalm 73. He says, I'll quote it again. He says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I saw there was no bands in their death. They had their strength all the way to the end. They don't have money troubles. They don't have other troubles. They just kind of go to sleep in old age and just pass away. There's no bands in their death. Nothing really troubles them. They just don't worry about anything. And he said, I saw that. And here I am, a child of God, trying to do what's right. And everything that I see is trouble at every corner. As the Apostle Paul said, we're troubled on every side. He said, no matter which way I would turn, there's trouble there. If I go to the right, I find it there. If I go to the left, if I go forward or backwards, wherever I go, as one of the Lord's, there's trouble everywhere. Trouble abounds. But thankfully, the Lord's with us in the trouble. But here, Asaph, he forgot that. He saw that the wicked look like they have it all easy. Everything goes well and smooth for them. And he said, I'd kind of like to have that. I'd like to have everything they enjoy. I'd like to have the wealth they have, the peace they have, the lack of trouble. But what he failed to remember is that they've got the very best right now and the worst is yet to come. The children of God have their worst right now and the best is yet to come. That's what he said, till I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. I remembered that when the last day comes, they're going to burn forever in hell. And I'm going to be with the Lord in glory. All of a sudden, he wasn't so envious of them any longer. So David says, Lord, my feet without your help would fall. I know you've delivered my soul from death. I'm not asking about that, Lord. I'm convinced that you've taken care of my eternal destination. I'm certain about that. But what I'm not certain about is I'm going to live faithful. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to finish the journey. I'm not sure that the race that's set before me, I'm going to complete in a godly and upright way. I'm not certain about how this life is going to go forth. Am I going to give it up at some point? Am I going to turn to idolatry? Or am I going to step off into some gross sin? Lord, I don't know. So I'm asking you, Lord, would you not keep my feet from falling so that I might walk before God in the light of the living? That ought to be our daily prayer. The Lord taught his disciples when they were to pray, one of the things that they were to ask God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That ought to be the Christian's daily prayer. Lord, I'm about to get up, and there's a lot of evil out there, and there's a lot of temptation, and I need you to deliver me from it. Because I know as a human being that I still have a passion and lust of the flesh that would carry me away if your grace wouldn't sustain me and prevent me from doing so. So I need your help because I'm about to get up out of this bed and there's a lot of trouble facing me. Lord, help. Lord, guide. Lord, direct. One of my very favorite hymns is the one we just sang. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Can you imagine the trouble we would be in if our God had not led us, is currently leading us, and we could trust would yet lead us. Again, he says, you've delivered my soul from death. Since you've done that, Lord, would you please help me so that I can finish my course with joy. Lord, just bless me with strength, with encouragement, with wisdom. When decisions come, I know which decision to make. When I'm in the journey, that I'd have the strength to finish the course. When I grow weary, that you'd give me encouragement. When I see a temptation, that you would bring your word to my mind so that I would turn and go the other way. Lord, that you would just be with me as a hedge of protection about me so that I would not fall into the things that is so present before us at all times. Lord, I know I'll see you in glory. But help me in the journey. Bless me, Lord, that I can finish in a way of dignity, integrity, and honor. I've said many times, it's worth living a life of toil and struggle in the Lord's kingdom to hear a few words at our end. Those words are, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." I know I'm going to enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't doubt that. But I'd love to hear the Lord say, "You did the best you could. You did the best you could. But Lord, I need help. I need grace. I need strength. Because I can't do it on my own." And let us never forget that. Let us never come to the point that we think we've arrived and that we're able to handle it all by ourselves. The Bible is clear, "Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." We need grace every step of the way. And let us never forget it. I thank you for your good attention. May the Lord bless you.